Thank you. So I'm going to switch up a little bit and talk about something completely different from termites and ants, and that's caddisflies that inhabit urban headwater streams. So the process by which watershed urbanization impacts aquatic insects, such as trichopterans, relatively well understood. And by watershed urbanization, what I'm talking about are, you can see in this picture, building of apartment complexes, roads, other impervious surfaces, the construction of stormwater drainage systems that can obviously change the habitat in the stream and the quality of the habitat that larval insects experience when living there. And this poor habitat tends to lead to eventually the loss of some intolerant taxa, and the cumulative loss of those taxa will lead to lower diversity. And it's a pretty common pattern seen in urban streams. But what's less understood is the potential for these insects to colonize these streams if habitat would improve by ways of restoration, for example. So, and this is particularly important for headwaters because there is no upstream source of individuals to drift in into that reach. And as a result, colonization is going to have to occur by adult trichopterans flying in, ovipositing in the stream, and contributing to larval populations. But if there are no adults available to oviposit, then colonization is not going to occur. So to kind of get this idea of the colonization potential of trichopterans in these urban headwaters, we did two sets of experiments. The first set wanted to know simply, is the richness of adult trichopteran different between urban and rural headwaters? And then in the second set of experiments, we wanted to know what the composition was of the trichopterans that are able to migrate to the stream. Who are these species that are getting there when their larval populations are absent? And then does the location of larval populations around those streams or do their species traits have any influence on whether or not they can or cannot migrate to these streams? So the overall study design was this. We had, for phase one, we had three urban and three rural headwater streams that we sampled. In 2004, we collected larvae, trichopterans, as part of a larger study on the entire insect community in the stream, and this published in 2008. But essentially what we did was we went to each of the headwaters and sampled from three locations using a quantitative method to get the larvae, and then sampled at locations downstream and upstream of the confluence of that headwater on the main stem. Then in 2005, we went back to those headwaters and sampled the adults from each of those six headwaters. Now for phase two, we decided to focus our sampling effort on one stream in order to extend the amount of time we could sample for adults, and I'll explain why we did that in a second. But again, we used the 2004 larval data and then went back in 2007 and did the collections of adults from that one urban headwater stream. So for phase one, to collect the adults at the six streams, at each headwater, we set up five malaise traps, four of them in the riparian zone, as you can see here, one set up in the backyard of one of the landowners, and then one we suspended over top of the stream channel. We set this malaise traps out for 7 days, and we were able to do two sites at a time. So this entire experiment took about a month to do all six sites, and the trichopterans were identified as best as possible to genus. And the results of this study, again, we were looking at the richness of adult trichopterans. When we looked at the larvae, just as a comparison, as you can see, as expected, there was a significantly lower number of trichopteran taxa in the rural headwaters in the urban headwaters than there were in the rural headwaters. But when we compared the number of trichopterans caught of the adult assemblage, there was no significant difference between the rural and urban headwaters, which is interesting and possibly suggests, as a starting point, that colonization potential of these urban headwater streams might not be as bad as we initially thought. So that's why we went back for the second phase of the study to try to sample for a longer period of time. The first study was only a snapshot from 7 days. So we chose one of the worst streams that we had that had the lowest larval richness, and we put one malaise trap above the stream channel. Now we only used one because in the 2005 study we found that that trap position pretty much caught all the taxa we were going to find at any of the sites. So we set the traps out for 7 days during July, 7 days in August, and 7 days in September. And again, the adults that we collected were identified as best as possible to genus. Now, we can't make any statistical comparisons because we're only looking at the adults, we caught at one rural and one urban headwater. And I forgot to say that we did sample at a rural headwater in order to make, as a control, to make sure that our sampling methods were working properly. And what we found was in the first 2 months, we did find more taxa of adult trichopterans, but not so in September. And then when we combined all the samples together, there was a general trend to find more taxa. But again, there's no statistical comparison that can be done here. But what we were most interested in was going back and looking specifically at the composition of the trichopterans that we caught as adults and larvae at that one urban headwater stream. So what I have here, it's a large table, but I'll walk you through it. It's essentially a list of all the taxa that we caught as larvae or adults from that urban headwater stream and from rural streams regionally around that location. And in the first column here indicates the presence of that taxa caught as larvae in that urban headwater. The second column represents the presence of the taxa that we caught as larvae in the main stem downstream. If you remember, we sampled larvae in the headwater and in the stream that it flowed into. The third column represents the presence of the taxa that we caught as adults. And then the fourth column is the presence of all the larval trichopteran taxa that we caught regionally at other rural headwater streams. They kind of represent the regional species pool that we might find there as adults. And I feel that you can kind of group these into three different groups to kind of simplify the analysis and how we look at this. The first group is the residents. These are individuals, the taxa that are found as larvae in the headwater, and as a result, we obviously expect them to find them as adults flying around. Now, the second group is the immigrant group, and these are the ones that we did not find as larvae at the headwater, but we did find as adults. And what we can do is to get at that idea of whether or not the main stem, a potential close by source of adults, supplied in these immigrants. We look at this group and can see that the main stem does not. Apparently, all the taxa we find as adults are not ones that we find downstream. Interesting enough, among trichopterans, the ones we find in the main stem are also the ones that have colonized the headwater. So it's possible they're supplying some immigrants, but not the taxa that whose larvae are absent. Then the final group are the non-immigrants. These are the individuals that are unable to colonize the stream because they're not making it there as adults. Their larval populations are gone, and their adult populations, for some reason, are not making it to this particular urban headwater stream. Now, to get at whether or not species traits had any impact on this, I used a redundancy analysis to relate species traits that we found for these taxa to those three groupings of the adult trichopterans I just mentioned, the residents, immigrants, and non-immigrants. Now, luckily for me, Poff et al. In 2006 published a paper that had a really long list of species traits for many different orders of aquatic insects, including trichopterans, three of which were related to adult dispersal. Adult lifespan being very short or short, we did not find any trichopterans that had long adult lifespans. Female dispersal being low, their description was less than 1 kilometer of flight before laying eggs versus high, greater than 1 kilometer. And adult flying strength, which was generally a best professional judgment, where they described weak as those individuals that could not fly into a lake breeze. Now, these are categorical assessments of the dispersal ability of the catasphalms. Now, in addition to that, I also was wondering if adult size might have some influence on this. So I went to Ross, 1944, Catasflies or Trichopter of Illinois, and went through the literature and defined the taxa that I found into three size ranges. Small, where the median size was between 2 and 5 millimeters. Medium, which where the median size was between 6 and 13 millimeters. And large, where the median size was between 14 and 20 millimeters. So here's the biplot of the redundancy analysis. And just to explain to you what this indicates, is that the vectors for each of these species traits, if they point towards the centroid for one of those groups, that simply indicates that that species trait is present within the taxa that were found in that group. Okay, so in this instance, the good flyers, the individuals that were categorized as strong flyers, were found primarily in the group that were residents. For the non-immigrants, these included individuals that were large adult length and that generally had low female dispersal. The immigrant group had individuals that were very short as adults and also had very short adult lifespans. Now, what's interesting about this graph, too, is that the poor flyers tended to be part of both the immigrant and the non-immigrant stage, And the ones with the high female dispersal tended to be within the immigrant and the resident stages. So this suggests two things to me. It's one, it's possible that the resident groups are potentially opportunistic, that high dispersal is allowing them to overcome whatever larval habitat problems they're experiencing, and that the non-immigrants are generally made up of low dispersing females. So the conclusion for phase one is that taxa richness was not different between urban and rural headwater streams for the adults. Well, we did find some difference in taxa richness in phase two, it was not statistically different. The main stem is likely a source, but it's not the primary source of immigrants, and that those taxa that do not migrate are generally the poor dispersing adults. So the significance of the work is this, that it supports our contention again that the adult stage is important for population persistence, even though it's rarely studied in aquatic ecology. You know, colonization potential is going to vary between trichopterans, and the species traits might be important for determining colonization potential, but more work has to be done, which is why I'm going to continue sampling the adults, expand the sampling time and sites, and also do quantitative measures of life history traits. With that, I'd like to thank Dr. Bill Lant, my advisor, Margaret Palmer, who's involved in the 2004 work, and the many lab mates and funding agencies that I've had for the years that this has been done. Thank you. Yes.
I was just wondering why you waited until July to start your collecting of adults. I would think you might want to start a little bit earlier to get some of the species that are emerging in the spring.
I would. With trichopterans, the ones that we found, well, I shouldn't say this. There's two reasons why we didn't start. One, we didn't have the equipment to do it until July for the first set of studies. And then in the second set of experiments, I didn't mention this, but in 2005 we did the majority of the sampling, and also in the late summer and early spring. And for the 2005 work, we didn't have the equipment until that point. When I did the 2007 studies, I wanted to kind of have an overlap. And I've actually collected individuals throughout the entire year just for this talk. For the 2007 data, I haven't been able to analyze it all. My starting point for doing the analysis was to have the same time frame. The nice thing is that caddisflies, unlike some of the other taxa, aren't as an entire order all coming out in the spring. There's a very good emergence of caddisflies in the late summer and in the fall. We catch a lot of individuals at that point. So, but yeah, eventually we're going to do it. I have the data. I have the samples for an entire year that just haven't gotten to analyzing it yet. All right. Thank you.